Track 15. Finally, for this year, we enter the world of Michael Bond and remind ourselves of Paddington's Christmas. For Paddington, Christmas took a long time to come, but the excitement steadily mounted. One of the highlights was when Paddington and Mr. Brown decorated the house with paper chains and holly. Paddington stood on Mr. Brown's shoulders while Mr. Brown handed up the drawing pins. This came to an unhappy end when Paddington put his paw on a drawing pin which he'd left on top of Mr. Brown's head. But the days leading up to Christmas were nothing compared with Christmas Day itself. Paddington woke to find a large, bulging pillowcase at the bottom of his bed. His eyes nearly popped out with astonishment, for it hadn't been bulging when he'd gone to bed. And his eyes grew larger and larger as he unwrapped each present. A large chemistry outfit from Mr. Brown, full of jars and bottles and test tubes. A miniature xylophone from Mrs. Brown, and travel books from Jonathan and Judy. Mrs. Bird's parcel contained a checked cap, which he specially asked for. Paddington stood at the end of his bed, admiring the effect in the mirror for quite a while.
The noise from Paddington's room was soon sufficient to wake everyone. "I'm as patriotic as the next man," grumbled Mr. Brown, "but I draw the line when bears start playing the national anthem on a xylophone at 6 in the morning. Mrs. Bird restored order after she tripped over Paddington on the landing. He was investigating his chemistry set, and something nasty had gone in one of her slippers.
"It's all right, Mrs. Bird," said Paddington. "It's only some iron filings. I don't think they're dangerous."
But Mrs. Bird had a big dinner to cook, not to mention a birthday cake to finish decorating. Being a bear, Paddington had 2 birthdays each year, one in the summer and one at Christmas. The morning passed quickly as Paddington read some chapters from his books and made several interesting smells and a small explosion with his chemical outfit. Mr. Brown was in trouble for having given it to him, especially when Paddington found a chapter in the instruction book headed Indoor Fireworks. He made himself a never-ending snake which wouldn't stop growing and frightened Mrs. Bird to death when she met it coming down the stairs. Fortunately, Mr. Gruber arrived for dinner and they all sat down to eat. Paddington didn't agree with Mr. Brown when he said it looked too good to eat. All the same, even Paddington noticeably slowed towards the end. "Well," said Mr. Gruber, as he sat back and surveyed his empty plate, "I must say that's the best Christmas dinner I've had for many a day. What do you say, Paddington?"
"It was very nice," said Paddington, licking cream from his whiskers. "Except I had a bone in my Christmas pudding. It was all hard, and it stuck in my throat."
"Good gracious," exclaimed Mrs. Bird. "The sixpence. I always put an old sixpence in the Christmas pudding."
"What?" said Paddington, nearly falling off his chair. "I've never heard of a sixpence pudding."
"Quick," shouted Mr. Brown. "Turn him upside down."
Before Paddington could reply, he found himself hanging upside down, while Mr. Brown and Mr. Gruber took it in turns to shake him.
"It's no good," said Mr. Brown. "It must have gone too far." They lifted Paddington into an armchair, where he lay gasping for breath. "How do you feel, Paddington?" asked Mrs. Brown.
"Sick," said Paddington, in an aggrieved tone of voice.
"Of course you do, dear," she said. "We shall have to send for the doctor."
"But I didn't swallow it," gasped Paddington. "I only nearly did. Then I put it on the side of my plate. I didn't know what it was because it was all covered with Christmas pudding."
Paddington was very fed up. He'd just eaten one of the best dinners he could ever remember, and then he'd been turned upside down and shaken. Everyone crept quietly away, leaving Paddington to recover. When they came back into the room, he was helping himself to some dates. It took a lot to make Paddington ill for long.
As they sat round the blazing fire, feeling warm and comfortable, a mysterious expression came over Paddington's face. "If you all go in the other room, I have a special surprise for you." "I shan't be long," said Paddington firmly, "but it has to be prepared." Everyone trooped obediently into the other room. "Close your eyes," said Paddington. "I'll let you know when I'm ready."
They waited for several minutes. Then Mr. Gruber cleared his throat. "Do you think Mr. Brown's forgotten about us?" he asked. "I don't know," said Mrs. Brown, "but I'm not waiting much longer." "Henry," she exclaimed, "have you gone to sleep?" "What's that?" snorted Mr. Brown. "Have I missed anything? What's happening?" "Nothing's happening," said Mrs. Brown. "Go and see what Paddington's up to." Several minutes later, Mr. Brown returned to announce that he couldn't find Paddington. "Well, he must be somewhere," said Mrs. Brown. "Bears don't disappear into thin air." "Crikey," exclaimed Jonathan. "You don't think he's playing at Father Christmas, do you? He was asking all about it the other day when he put his list up the chimney. I bet that's why he wanted us to come in here, because this chimney connects with the one upstairs and there isn't a fire." "Father Christmas," said Mr. Brown. "I'll give him Father Christmas." He stuck his head up the chimney. "I can't see anything," he said. A large lump of soot descended and burst on top of his head. "Now look what you've done, Henry," said Mrs. Brown, "all over your clean shirt." "Perhaps he's stuck somewhere," suggested Mr. Gruber. "Why, he might suffocate," exclaimed Mrs. Bird, as she hurried out to the broom cupboard. When she returned, armed with a mop, everyone took it in turns to poke it up the chimney, but they couldn't hear a sound.
When the excitement was at its height, Paddington came into the room. He looked most surprised when he saw Mr. Brown with his head up the chimney. "You can come into the dining room now," he announced. "I've finished wrapping my presents and they're all on the Christmas tree."
"You mean to say," spluttered Mr. Brown, "you've been in the other room all the time?" Mrs. Brown looked at her husband. "I thought you looked everywhere." "Well, we'd just come from the dining room. I didn't think he'd be there."
Paddington looked most interested when they explained what the fuss was about. "I never thought of coming down the chimney," he said, staring at the fireplace.
"And you're not thinking about it now," said Mr. Brown sternly. His expression changed as he followed Paddington into the dining room and saw the surprise that had been prepared. In addition to the presents already on the tree, there were now 6 newly wrapped ones tied to the lower branches. If the Browns recognised the paper they had used for Paddington's presents earlier in the day, they were much too polite to say anything.
"I'm afraid they're rather ordinary," said Paddington, "but I hope you like them."
"Ordinary?" exclaimed Mr. Brown as he opened his parcel. "I don't call a pipe rack ordinary, and there's an ounce of my favourite tobacco as well." "Gosh! A new stamp album," cried Jonathan. "And it's got some stamps inside already."
"They're Peruvian ones from Aunt Lucy's postcard," said Paddington. "I've been saving them for you."
"And I've got a box of paints," exclaimed Judy. "Thank you very much, Paddington." "We all seem to be lucky," said Mrs. Brown as she unwrapped a parcel containing a bottle of her favourite lavender water.
"I'm sorry about your parcel, Mrs. Bird," said Paddington. "I had a bit of trouble with the knots."
"It must be something special," said Mr. Brown. "It seems all string and no parcel."
"Well, that's because it's really a clothesline," explained Paddington, "not string."
"That makes 2 presents in one," said Mrs. Bird. "Why, it's a brooch shaped like a bear. How lovely." "Mine's a funny shape," said Mr. Gruber. "It's a drinking mug," he exclaimed, his face lighting up with pleasure. "And it even has my name painted on the side."
"It's for your 11s, Mr. Gruber," said Paddington. "Your old one was getting rather chipped."
"It will make my cocoa taste better than it ever has before," said Mr. Gruber. He felt under his chair. "And while I think of it, Mr. Brown, I have a small present for you."
Paddington struggled with his parcel. It turned out to be a beautifully bound leather scrapbook with Paddington Brown printed in gold leaf on the cover.
"I know how you enjoy writing about your adventures, Mr. Brown," he said. "You have so many, I'm sure your present scrapbook must be almost full."
Much, much later, when Paddington made his way up to bed, his mind was in such a whirl he could hardly climb the stairs, let alone think. He wasn't sure which he'd enjoyed most, the presents, the Christmas dinner, the games, or the tea with the special marmalade birthday cake Mrs. Bird had made. Pausing on the corner halfway up, he decided he'd enjoyed giving presents best of all. He got into bed and started to write in his scrapbook, but he felt much too sleepy. He didn't mind. Tomorrow was another day. Paddington lay back and pulled the blankets round his whiskers. It was warm and comfortable, and he sighed contentedly as he closed his eyes. It was nice being a bear, especially a bear called Paddington.